Welcome to the PC Speaking Podcast series, Through the Bible in a Year, where we come together for daily reading and reflection as we journey through the scriptures. Let's dive into today's episode with Pastor Chris Miller. January, faithful in the storm.
We're the end, the empty spaces. Hello and welcome to day number 107 of the Through the Bible in a Year podcast, part of the PC Speaking podcast. Today we are reading from Joshua chapters 8 through 10 and Luke chapter 13. We'll do a bit of an overview like we always do, some thoughts and meditations for today once we finish our reading, and an idea to take your study further if you'd like to do that today. Well, we begin our reading today in Joshua chapter 8, and Joshua 8 records the capture of Ai. Israel employs a strategic ambush that leads to the successful conquest of the city. And one thing this chapter does is emphasize obedience to God's instructions, including the setting up of an altar at Mount Ebal, where Joshua reads all the words of the law to the entire assembly of Israel. Over to chapter 9, the Gibeonites deceive the Israelites into making a peace treaty with them by pretending to come from a distant land. And Joshua and the leaders fail to consult the Lord before swearing an oath to them. When the deception is discovered, the Gibeonites are spared from death due to the oath that they made with Israel, but they become the servants of Israel nonetheless. Joshua chapter 10, the sun stands still at Joshua's request, allowing Israel more time to achieve a victory over the Amorite kings. And then we move over to the New Testament in Luke chapter 13. And in our New Testament reading today, Jesus addresses the need for repentance. He emphasizes that, you know, physical calamities are not direct punishments for sin, something people sometimes get confused about, but that everyone must repent. It also includes parables of the mustard seed, yeast, illustrating God's kingdom's growth from very small beginnings, which is such a true thing when you think about it, from where Jesus started and the amount of Christians there are in the world today is a pretty amazing thing. Jesus heals a crippled man, or a crippled woman on the Sabbath, leading to a confrontation that underscores Jesus' teachings on the kingdom priorities over legalistic interpretations of the law. All right, well, let's go to our reading today. Joshua chapter 8, verse 1. The Lord said to Joshua, "Don't be afraid and don't be dismayed. Take all the warriors with you and arise, go up to Ai. Behold, I have given into your hand the king of Ai with his people, his city, and his land. You shall do to Ai and her king as you did to Jericho and her king, except you shall take its goods and its livestock for yourselves. Set an ambush for the city behind it." So Joshua rose with all the warriors to go up to Ai. Joshua chose 30,000 men, the mighty men of valor, and sent them out by night. He commanded them, saying, "Behold, you shall lie in ambush against the city, behind the city. Don't go very far from the city, but all of you be ready. I and all the people who are with me will approach the city. It shall happen when they come out against us, as at the first, that we will flee before them. They will come out after us. They will come out after us until we have drawn them away from the city, for they will say, 'They flee before us like the first time.' So we will flee before them. And you shall rise up from the ambush and take possession of the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. It shall be when you have seized the city that you shall set the city on fire. You shall do this according to the Lord's word. Behold, I have commanded you." Joshua sent them out, and they went up to set up the ambush and stayed between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua stayed amongst the people that night. Joshua rose up early in the morning, mustered the people, and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people of Ai. All the people, even the men of war who were with him, went up and came near, and came before the city and encamped on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between him and Ai. He took about 5,000 men and set them in ambush between Bethel and Ai, on the west side of the city. So they set the people, even all the army who was on the north side of the city, and their ambush on the west side of the city. And Joshua went that night into the middle of the valley. When the king of Ai saw it, they hurried and rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people at the time appointed, before the Arabah. But he didn't know that there was an ambush against him behind the city. Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. All the people who were in the city were called together to pursue after them. They pursued Joshua and were drawn away from the city. There was not left a man in Ai or Bethel who didn't go out after Israel. They left the city and pursued Israel. The Lord said to Joshua, "Stretch out the javelin that is in your hand towards Ai, for I will give it into your hand." Joshua stretched out the javelin that was in his hand towards the city. The ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand and entered into the city and took it. They hurried and set the city on fire. When the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven, and they had no power to flee this way or that. The people who fled to the wilderness turned back on the pursuers. When Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned back and killed the men of Ai. The others came out of the city against them, so they were in the middle of Israel, some on this side, some on that side. They struck them so that they let none of them remain or escape. They captured the king of Ai alive and brought him to Joshua. When Israel had finished killing all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness in which they pursued them, and they had all fallen by the edge of the sword until they were consumed, all Israel returned to Ai and struck it with the edge of the sword. All that fell that day, both of men and women, were 12,000, even all the people of Ai. For Joshua didn't draw back his hand, and with it he stretched out the javelin until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Israel took for themselves only the livestock and the goods of that city, according to the Lord's word, which he had commanded. So Joshua burned Ai and made it a heap forever, even a desolation to this day. He hanged the king of Ai on a tree until that evening. At sundown, Joshua commanded, and they took his body down from the tree and threw it at the entrance of the gate of the city and raised a great heap of stones on it that remains to this day. Then Joshua built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, on Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of uncut stones on which no one had lifted up any iron. They offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. He wrote there on the stones a copy of Moses' law, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. All Israel, with their elders, officers, and judges, took on both sides of the ark before the Levite priests, who carried the ark to the Lord's covenant, ark of the Lord's covenant. The foreigner, as well as the native, half of them from Mount Gerizim, and half of them in front of Mount Ebal, as most of the servant of the Lord had commanded at the first, as Moses, good grief, Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded at the first that they should bless the people. Afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessing and the curse, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua didn't read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women, the little ones, and the foreigners who were amongst them. Joshua chapter 9. When all the kings who were beyond the Jordan in the hill country and in the lowland and all the shore of the great sea in front of the Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard of it, they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. But when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and to Ai, they also resorted to a ruse and went and made as if they had been ambassadors and took old sacks on their donkeys and old torn up and bound up wineskins and old and patched sandals on their feet and wore old garments. All the bread of their food supply was dry and moldy. They went to Joshua at the camp at Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, "We have come from a far country. Now therefore make a covenant with us." The men of Israel said to the Hivites, "What if you live amongst us? How could we make a covenant with you?" They said to Joshua, "We are your servants." Joshua said to them, "Who are you? Where do you come from?" They said to him, "Your servants have come from a very far country because of the name of the Lord your God, for we have heard of his fame, all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, who was at Ashtaroth. Our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, 'Take supplies in your hand for the journey and go to meet them. Tell them, we are your servants. Now make a covenant with us. This is our bread we took hot for our supplies out of our houses on the day we went out to go to you. But now behold, it is dry and has become moldy. These wineskins which were filled were new, and behold, they are torn. These our garments and our sandals have become old because of the very long journey. The men sampled their provisions and didn't ask counsel from the Lord's mouth. Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live. The princes of the congregation swore to them. At the end of 3 days, after they had made a covenant with them, they heard that they were neighbors and that they lived amongst them. The children of Israel traveled and came to their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon, Chipperah, Beeroth, and Kiriath-Jearim. The children of Israel didn't strike them because the princes of the congregation had sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel. All the congregation murmured against the princes, but all the princes said to all the congregation, "We have sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel. Now, therefore, we may not touch them. We will do this to them and let them live, lest wrath be on us because of the oath which we swore to them." The princes said to them, "Let them live so that they become woodcutters and drawers of water for all the congregation, as the princes had spoken to them." Joshua called for them, and he spoke to them, saying, "Why have you deceived us, saying, 'We are very far from you when you live amongst us'? Now, therefore, you are cursed, and some of you will never fail to be slaves, both woodcutters and drawers of water for the house of my God." They answered Joshua and said, "Because your servants were certainly told how the Lord your God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore, we were very afraid for our lives because of you and have done this thing. Now, behold, we are in your hand. Do to us as it seems good and right to you to do." He did so to them and delivered them out of the land of the children of Israel so that they didn't kill them. That day, Joshua made them woodcutters and drawers of water for the congregation and for the Lord's altar to this day in the place which he should choose. Joshua chapter 10. Now when Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were amongst them, they were very afraid, because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all its men were mighty. Therefore, Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent to Hoham, king of Hebron, Piram, king of Jarmuth, Japhia, king of Lachish, and Deber, king of Eglon, saying, Come up to me and help me. Let's strike Gibeon, for they have made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, and the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their armies, and encamped against Gibeon and made war against it. The men of Gibeon sent to Joshua at the camp of Gilgal, saying, "Don't abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us. Help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the hill country have gathered together against us." So Joshua went up from Gilgal, he and the whole army with him, including all the mighty men of valor. The Lord said to Joshua, "Don't fear, for I have delivered them into your hands. Not a man of them will stand before you." Joshua, therefore, came to them suddenly. He marched from Gilgal all night. The Lord confused them before Israel. He killed them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them by the way of the ascent of Beth Horon and struck them to Azekah and to Makeda. As they fled from before Israel, while they were at the descent of Beth Horon, the Lord hurled down great stones from the sky on them at Azekah, and they died. There were more who died from the hailstones than those whom the children of Israel killed with the sword. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. He said in the sight of Israel, "Sun, stand still on Gibeon. You, moon, stop in the valley of Ajalon." The sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the nation had avenged themselves of their enemies. Isn't this written in the book of Jasher? The sun stayed in the middle of the sky and didn't hurry to go down about a whole day. There was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord listened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Joshua returned and all Israel with him to the camp at Gilgal. These five kings fled and hid themselves in the cave at Makeda. Joshua was told, saying, "The five kings have been found hidden in the cave at Makeda." Joshua said, roll large stones to cover the cave's entrance and set men by it to guard them. But don't stay there. Pursue your enemies and attack them from the rear. Don't allow them to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God has delivered them into your hand. When Joshua and the children of Israel had finished killing them with a great slaughter until they were consumed, and the remnant which remained of them had entered into the fortified cities, all the people returned to the camp of Joshua at Makkedah in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then Joshua said, open the cave entrance and bring those five kings out of the cave to me. They did so and brought those five kings out of the cave to him, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. When they brought those kings out to Joshua, Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the chiefs of the men of war who went with them, come near, put your feet on the necks of these kings. They came near and put their feet on their necks. Joshua said to them, don't be afraid, nor be dismayed. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord will do this to all your enemies against whom you fight. Afterward, Joshua struck them, put them to death, and hanged them on five trees. They were hanging on the trees until the evening. At the time of the going down of the sun, Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees. And they threw them into the cave in which they had hidden themselves and laid great stones on the mouth of the cave, which remained to this very day. Joshua took Makkedah on that day and struck it with the edge of the sword with its king. He utterly destroyed it and all the souls who were in it. He left no one remaining. He did to the king of Makkedah as he had done to the king of Jericho. Joshua passed from Makkedah and all Israel with him to Libnah and fought against Libnah. The Lord delivered it also with its king into the hand of Israel. He struck it with the edge of the sword and all the souls who were in it. He left no one remaining in it. He did it to its king as he had done to the king of Jericho. Joshua passed from Libnah and all Israel with him to Lachish and encamped against it and fought against it. The Lord delivered Lachish into the hand of Israel. He took it on the second day and struck it with the edge of the sword with all the souls who were in it, according to all that he had done to Libnah. Then Horam, king of Gezer, came up to help Lachish, and Joshua struck him and his people until he had left him no one remaining. Joshua passed from Lachish and all Israel with him to Eglon, and they encamped against it and fought against it. They took it on that day and struck it with the edge of the sword. He utterly destroyed all the souls who were in it that day, according to all that he had done to Lachish. Joshua went up from Eglon and all Israel with him to Hebron, and they fought against it. They took it and struck it with the edge of the sword, with its king and all its cities and all the souls who were in it. He left no one remaining, according to all that he had done to Eglon, but he utterly destroyed it and all the souls who were in it. Joshua returned and all Israel with him to Debir and fought against it. He took it with its king and all its cities. They struck them with the edge of the sword and utterly destroyed all the souls who were in it. He left no one remaining as he had done to Hebron, and so he did to Debir, and to its king, so he had done to Libnah and to its king. So Joshua struck all the land, the hill country, the south, the lowland, the slopes, and all their kings. He left no one remaining, but he utterly destroyed all that breathed as the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded. Joshua struck them from Kadesh Barnea, even to Gaza, and all the country of Goshen, even the Gibeon. Joshua took all these kings and their land at one time because the Lord, the God of Israel, fought for Israel. Joshua returned and all Israel with him to camp at Gilgal. Luke chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were some present at the same time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered them, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will perish in the same way. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the men who dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all perish in the same way. He spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. He said to the vine dresser, behold, these 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree and found none. Cut it down. Why does it waste soil? He answered, Lord, leave it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit, fine. But if not, after that, you can cut it down. He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day. Behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years.
She was bent over and could in no way straighten herself up. When Jesus saw her, he called her and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your infirmity." He laid his hands on her, and immediately she stood up straight and glorified God. The ruler of the synagogue, being indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the multitude, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work. Therefore, come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." Therefore, the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, don't each one of you free his ox or his donkey from the stall on the Sabbath and lead him away to water? Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound 18 long years, be freed from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" As he said these things, all his adversaries were disappointed, and all the multitude rejoiced from all the glorious things that were done by him. He said, "What is the kingdom of God like? To what shall I compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and put in his own garden. It grew and became a large tree, and the birds of the sky live in its branches." Again he said, "To what shall I compare God's kingdom? It is like yeast with a woman, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened." He went on his way through cities and villages, teaching and traveling on to Jerusalem. One said to him, "Lord, are they few who are saved?" He said to them, "Strive to enter by the narrow door, for many, I tell you, we seek to enter in and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us,' then he will answer and tell you, 'I don't know you or where you come from.' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in your streets.' He will say, 'I tell you, I don't know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity.' There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets in God's kingdom, and yourselves being thrown outside. They will come from the east, west, north, and south, and will sit down in God's kingdom. Behold, there are some who are last who will be first, and there are some who are first who will be last." On that same day, some Pharisees came, saying to him, "Get out of here and go away, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I complete my mission. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the next day, for it can't be that a prophet would perish outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together like a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you refused. Behold, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you that you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Well, that's our reading for today. Let's wrap up with a few devotional thoughts and meditations for today. From the Old Testament, book of Joshua, the Gibeonite deception resulting treaty demonstrate the consequences of decisions made without seeking God. Can you recall a situation where failing to seek God's guidance led to maybe an unfortunate or unexpected outcome? I suppose most of us could do that. The miracle of the sun standing still is a testament to God's control over nature. How might you reconcile, this is kind of a tough question, how might you reconcile God's power over nature with the fact that natural disasters still occur and often do great harm? And the parable of the mustard seed depicts the growth of the kingdom of God. How do these parables encourage your faith journey, especially in seemingly small beginnings? And another thing to think about that isn't necessarily written in the book today, but just the comparison of, you know, when bad things happen, when people go through difficult times, it's not necessarily a punishment for sin. That's what Jesus was teaching at the beginning of our reading today. That's another thing to think about. It's easy to become judgmental sometimes when someone's going through a difficult time and say, "Oh, they must have done something wrong," like the people Jesus was talking to. But that's not necessarily the case. Take it further. If you'd like to take your study a little further today, examine Jesus' teachings on the Sabbath within the broader context of his ministry, considering what they reveal about his mission and the nature of the Sabbath. Well, that's our reading for today, and I look forward to speaking with you again tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us today on the PC Speaking Podcast. Tune in tomorrow for another episode of Through the Bible in a Year. If you have found this helpful, please follow the podcast and share it with a friend. It is our hope and prayer that every episode helps enrich your relationship with God and His Word.